Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh of Kansas City Christian Faith Center, and welcome to our radio broadcast. The scriptures record to fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Christians are not called to fight the devil. The only fight that you are in is a faith fight. You are not fighting churches. You are not fighting other preachers. You are not even called upon to fight the devil. You are not even supposed to fight demons, because you could not whip a baby demon with both of his hands tied behind his back, his eyes blindfolded, and one leg in a cast. Why? Because a demon is a spirit creature. You cannot see one, so how are you going to fight him? We do not have to fight Satan, because Satan is already defeated. Jesus defeated him for us. His victory was actually our victory. You cannot find one scripture in the Bible that tells you to fight the devil. In fact, you will find just the opposite. Satan is a bully and a master con man. If he can, he will con you into thinking that he has some kind of power over you and that he can play with your life whenever he wants to, and you have to take it. But from the standpoint of the Word of God, he is already defeated. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. That's Mark chapter 16. And please go to verse 17. And it says, "And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." Now, this scripture is very interesting because it says these signs will follow those who believe. So the opposite of that is these signs will not follow those who do not believe. Believers have the authority over Satan. Let me repeat that. Believers have the authority over Satan. My question to you is, are you a believer? Then Jesus is talking to you. He did not say fight demons. He did not say to shoot them. He said cast them out. That means to throw them out. You could not throw them out if you did not have the authority to throw them out. Am I correct? Now go, please, to Luke chapter 10. That's Luke chapter 10. And we will read verse 19. And it says, Again, this is Jesus speaking. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Now, the word power in this verse is the Greek word dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, which means the ability. Now, let's read it this way. Behold, I give you the authority, which literally means the right or the privilege, to trample on, which means to walk on, serpents and scorpions, and over all the power or ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Think with me for a moment to what I'm about to say. Authority is greater than ability. Authority is greater than ability. I would much rather have authority than ability, because I can do more with authority than with ability. My ability could and would be limited to my physical size, my IQ, and even, unfortunately, the color of my skin. But if I had the authority, it transcends all the rest of those things. Behold, I give you the authority, amen, to trample on or to walk on serpents. Now, the word serpents and scorpions refer to Satan's demons. Now, remember in the book of Revelations? Well, let's go there. Go to Revelations 12. That's Revelation 12. And we're going to read verse 4, and then we're going to skip down to verse number 9. All right, it says, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Verse 9. So the great demon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, the word stars in verse number 4, where it says, drew a third of the stars, if we look at Revelations 1:20, stars are references to angels. So in this verse, they are referencing angels. Amen? Now, our last time together, we had started on the topic, why study faith? Why study faith? And we determined that our foundational scripture we have been using for this teaching on the importance and the meaning of faith gives us the reason why we should study faith. And let's read our foundational scripture, Hebrews 11:6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So as a Christian, one who professes to follow Christ and his teachings should have an understanding of the principles of faith. Amen. Faith is the foundation of every Christian experience. And without it, you cannot, and let me repeat, you cannot please our Heavenly Father. It is impossible to be saved, baptized with the Holy Spirit, or to receive anything from God without faith. Believe, confess, act, and receive is the faith formula. Believe, confess, act, and receive is the faith formula. When we operate in faith, we can expect God to be there on our behalf to honor his word, even as he promised. As believers, Jesus has given us authority. He has given the authority over Satan. Now go to Luke 10, and we're going to read verse 19 again. And again, this is Jesus speaking. It says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now you might ask the question, what does that mean? What is it that the verse is talking about? Have you ever attempted to sew a button or repair a hole on a piece of clothing and you stuck yourself with a needle? Initially, it hurt, didn't it? But when you got stuck with that needle, that was not the end of your life, was it? But it did hurt. But it did not kill you, did it? And guess what? It healed up soon. So when it says nothing shall hurt you, it means nothing shall hurt you in a permanent way. Just like that needle that didn't harm you permanently, the words that the devil is speaking cannot legally hurt you on a permanent basis. It cannot remain. Remember, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Now, you can get hit in a fight, and you can get hurt when you get hit. But give it time. It will heal up, and you will never even know you were hit. That is what Jesus is talking about. I am confirming the fact that you are not fighting the devil. Now, Satan is our enemy personified, meaning that he is a person. So as far as being a person, he is the enemy. However, he is not our enemy. He is not a Christian's problem. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. That's Ephesians chapter 4. And we will read verse 27. And it says, nor give place to the devil. Let me repeat that. It says, nor give place to the devil. Now think with me for a moment. Why should God tell us to do something that we are unable to do? Why will he hold that over our heads, knowing it is an impossible task? That would not be in the character of God to do that, to require us to do something that he very well knows we are incapable of doing. If he tells us not to give place to the devil, that means that the devil cannot have a place in our lives unless we give it to him. It is possible now for us to give him, Satan, a place by consent of ignorance, by not knowing that we are giving it to him. Now, let me give an example as to what I mean by that. One insect that Dr. Michelle just detests in our house is a fly. Have you ever found a fly in your house? Now, apart from there being a hole in the screen or something like that, I have only experienced letting a fly in the house by opening the door. But that was not my intent when I opened the door. My intent was to let me and Dr. Michelle in. But the fly took full advantage of me not knowing that he was following behind me. So when I opened the door for us to come in, here comes the fly. That is what I mean by consent of ignorance. You might not realize what you are doing. If you open the door, the flies are coming in. And if you open the right breach in your life, the devil is coming in. Now, please go with me to the book of James, chapter 4. That's James, chapter 4. And we will read verse number 7. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We must follow in order the due commandments in this verse. First, we must submit to God by abandoning our selfish pride. We must submit to God by abandoning our selfish pride. Now, submit is a Greek word which means to obey, to be under obedience, to put under, to subdue unto, and submit self unto. Submitting the Lord also gives or involves putting on the whole armor of God, an image that includes everything from placing our faith in Him to immersing ourselves in the truth of God's word. What is meant by immersing ourselves in the truth of God's word? Well, let's find out what the word says. Please go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. That's Ephesians chapter 6. And we will read verse 11 through 20. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having sodded your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Verse 19. And for me and you, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries or the hidden truths of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Shalom. Amen. Secondly, we must resist any temptation that the devil throws our way. Then the evil one will have no choice but to flee from us. For we belong to the army of the living God. That's what we mean by immersing ourselves in the truth and the word of God. Most people, when they read or quote James 4:7, they read or quote it this way: resist the devil and he will flee from you. They say resist the devil and he will flee from you. But that is not what that verse says. It says, therefore, submit to God. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Therefore, submit to God. And you want to know what the really sad thing about this really is? The reason the devil has given Christians so much hell is because most Christians are not submitted to God. Sure, most Christians will come to weekly services, but not because they love the Lord, but out of a sense of obligation rather than the love of the word. You have to be willing to go all the way with God if you expect his blessings in your life. Amen? How do you submit to God that you cannot see? Well, the way that you submit to God is by being submitted to his word, because God and his word are one. God and his word are one. Please turn to the book of John, chapter 1. That's John, chapter 1. And we shall read verse 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning was the word, or the Logos, the second head of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. It says, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. So we see right now that the Word and God was together in the beginning. They had always been one. Now, what would happen if your boss sent a memo to you by way of his secretary giving you some instructions to carry out and you refused to carry them out? That would be insubordination, don't you agree? Because you are submitted to your boss. If you are submitted to your boss, you are submitted to the memo, because the memo came from the boss, correct? Well, our boss, Almighty God, has sent you a memo directly from his heavenly headquarters. And his secretary, the Holy Spirit, has delivered it, and it is the Bible, the Word of God. He says in James 4:7, therefore, submit to God. Submit yourself to the Word. Then, and only then, can you have the right to resist the devil. It does not say to fight him. It says resist him. And the Bible says he will flee from you. So you have to understand that you are in a fight, but it is a faith fight, not a demon, devil, or people fight, but a faith fight. Now remember, Satan, the devil, is the enemy. There's no question about that. He is the enemy personified. He is our enemy, and we are his enemy. However, Satan is not after you. He cares nothing about you. You mean absolutely zero to him. You are unimportant. You do not count. But why does he come after me with his fiery darts, you might ask? Why are his demons trying to take me out? Because the only thing about you that is important to Satan and his demons is your faith. That is all. Because that is all you have to fight or to win with. He will attack your family, your marriage, your finances, your business, your profession, and even your physical body with sickness and disease. But he really doesn't care about you or your body. All he wants to do is to separate you from your faith. If he can separate you from your faith and cause you to be, and your faith to be inoperative, he will then have control over your life. Your faith is up for the taking. That is why our Heavenly Father says, fight the good fight of faith. The only thing that makes you dangerous to Satan is your faith. Let me give you an example that in the natural realm that I believe will bring some clarity to this statement. Now, the person who has COVID is not the problem, but the coronavirus is. It is a contagion, not the person. The person is irrelevant. If the person did not have the contagion, there would be no problem. The person has the contagion, the disease, COVID. It is the disease that is the problem, not the person. But people are carriers of diseases, and likewise, so are Christians carrier of faith. Can you relate to that? Your faith in the spirit realm to Satan is just like COVID or tuberculosis to humans in the natural realm. That is what makes you dangerous, is your faith. Let me prove this by scripture. Please go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we will read verse number 4. And it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. So, it is our faith that Satan is trying to destroy. Now, let's look at the word whatever in this verse. And let's make an adjustment to what it means in today's language. Because a whatever cannot be born of God. You see, whatever could be a tree, a cat, or a dog, or a mountain. And I think we should substitute it with the word whosoever, because it is really talking about whosoever. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Can you tell me, if you look closely, what it doesn't say in that verse? Well, you know what? The clock on the wall tells me that I'm just about out of time. But please return next week when we continue our teaching on faith, the importance and the meaning of it. And please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.